This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We are taking your calls, taking your emails, all about finances, about relationships. Do you have any tension, any situations, any circumstances that you want to talk about? We will look at those things through the eyes of what the Bible has to say. So you call in, and we'll be all ready to chat with you. So excited about this weekend. Those of you in Atlanta, our whole team is coming to you, to North Point Church, for our SMART Conference this Saturday, October 8th. All the Ramsey speakers, along with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Meg Meeker, Dr. Les Parrott, we're all coming to the SMART Conference. Be sure to check that out right there at stewardship.com. Go to the events tab on the right-hand side of the website at the top. It says events, and check out the SMART Conference. Got a little bit of encouragement for you as we start the broadcast today. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's your God. That's your Father. He loves you. He's right there. You can have as much of God as you want. Just reach out and ask Him to strengthen you. Again, we're taking your calls, 866-357-3283. First call's lined up, Nashville, Tennessee, calling in. This is Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing?
Doing well, Chris. Thanks.
Good. You're not calling from like right next door, are you?
I don't think so.
Okay. We're down in Brentwood area, off of Mallory Lane, Cool Springs area.
I'm actually right up in Murfreesboro.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. How can we help today?
I got a question for you. I am just a couple months ago, just turned 25, so I consider myself to still be pretty young.
Yeah.
And I've never taken any sort of finance class. I've never read a book on finance. I just was, I travel a lot, drive around a lot for my job, and I found favorite radio station, so I was just listening to him.
Yeah.
Decided to ask you a question. I make fairly well for my age, and I was wondering, should I be, I actually just purchased a rental property, and I don't know if that was a good idea, or should I be focusing more on paying off my own house?
What's your income?
I make about $130.
Do you have any consumer debt?
I bought a truck last year for my job, but I paid it off in 11 months.
Good job. It's nice having that nice income, huh?
I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I think you probably put the cart before the horse on the rental property, and I don't know what that exit strategy looks like. But you got to think through, yes, a rental property, if you were to think about that decision in a vacuum all by itself, yeah, it's a good decision, but it's just a little bit premature. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want you to do this from, you know, the right way from the beginning. So the step-by-step plan that we teach here, you said that you've never had a plan or a financial plan. That I'm actually going to give you a free copy of the Total Money Makeover that kind of explains this whole plan, so you don't have to remember it all. But for all of our listeners, first and foremost, you want to save $1,000 in an emergency fund, which is really easy for you. I mean, you could do that immediately. And then secondly, you want to get rid of all consumer debt. You want to get out of debt and stay out of debt, like completely. Never go back into consumer debt again. Then you want to beef up that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of expenses, because life is going to throw you some curveballs and you want to be prepared for those. And that money in savings is going to act as an insurance policy for you. It's not really an investment. It's not going to gain any interest. It's just going to sit there, but it's going to keep you from going into debt in the future. So that's what the baby steps 1, 2, and 3 are. Then baby step 4, you start investing 15% of your income towards long-term diversified Roth IRAs, 401ks, those kind of things, because you want to make sure that you are diversifying your investing. Right now, you've got it all sitting in that rental property. So you want to diversify, spread out. Ecclesiastes 11:2 talks about that. So that's baby step 4. And baby step 5, whenever there's kids involved, you're going to take care of their college funding, which there's an ESA and a 529 for that. Then you pay off your primary mortgage.
Okay, well, this is where I'm at. I actually have I've been married for 2 years. I have a 7-month-old. And
Awesome.
My thinking was get this rental property paid off, and then that could be his college funding.
If you were just to look at it mathematically, in a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that you're not diversified. In Ecclesiastes 11:2, it says a spread from 7 to 8. The whole idea is that you don't know what kind of devastation is going to come upon the land. That's what it's saying. And you want to just diversify. So that's what when you do a 401k or a Roth IRA, you're diversifying. Now, later on, after you have the primary paid off, which is goes back to your original question, then, and you're already doing the 15% towards diversified investments, they're already working for you around the clock, always working for you. There's some seasons where it goes down, but long term, there's been about an average of an 11-12% return over the last 85 plus years. So it's a good thing. You don't have to do any work. You just put it in there and it grows. But then after you've paid off the primaries, when you start thinking rental properties, and you only do it with cash, and you only do it locally. You don't do it in areas where you're not, you don't know the area.
So if you were in my shoes, what would you do? Right now I have about $60,000 in savings. My rental, it's worth $130,000, and I owe $72,000 left on it. My house is worth $240,000. I owe $106,000 left on it. So would you sell the rental property and pay off the house in a year and a half? Or would you just go ahead and knock out the rental property in 2 years and then throw all of it on the house?
Yeah, I would definitely sell the rental property and get that primary. But you are going to sleep so good in 18 months when you have no consumer debt. You got money in the bank. You've got a paid off primary. And you've got $10,000 a month to spend on whatever you want. And you have no liability. That's a really great place to be. You're like 18 to 24 months away from that. That's amazing. That's a lot better than you've got a mortgage on one, you got a mortgage on two, and you're like, oh my goodness, you're dealing with tenants. No, you don't have a care in the world. I love it when Dave Ramsey says that the grass feels so much better between your toes when you walk in your backyard, when you own the actual property. And that's what I want for you. So stay on the line. I'm going to give you the free Total Money Makeover. It'll break down everything I just said into more detail. But man, you've got an incredible income. You're at a great stage of life. You are just rocking, and I'm excited about your future. Very, very cool stuff.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
All right, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown. Today we are taking your calls and taking your emails. The phone number is 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can also ask questions on social media. The handle is chrisbrownonair on all social media platforms. All right, folks, next on the line from Naples, Florida, we've got Amanda. Amanda, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
My question is, we are new to the whole baby step process, and We have three young children, 7, 5, and 3. So we have each week been setting money aside for them, and they approximately have about $5,000 each. And then in our savings account, we have less. We have like $3,000. But our total debt is only like 16-ish thousand.
Uh-huh.
It's my car and my one credit card. So do I take their account money that we've funded and they've gotten a few gifts here and there, but essentially we've funded most of it. Do I take their money away from them, or is that wrong?
Is there another way to get out of this? What did you say? How much was it? 15,000 debt? 16?
Yeah, 16.
Is there another way to get out quickly, like within the next 6 to 9 months? Could you sell the car?
No.
Okay.
And no, because it's the only car that all five of us can drive in.
Okay. Could you generate more income, either one of you?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No, not really.
Could you squeeze the budget in other areas?
We could try to. I mean, I have, and maybe if we squeeze the budget, it wouldn't be like in 6 months or 9 months, it would be gone.
Okay.
Because we still have, like, we have my 401k savings,
yeah,
and we've recently stopped contributing to that, and that's like $90,000. But as far as, like, cash I can get my hands on right now, it's only the $5,000, so the $15,000 in their accounts, and then the $3,000 in our account.
Yeah. The big consideration on this is if there is another way, and if you really believe there isn't another way, I would everything that wasn't a gift from someone else, those little $20 birthday gifts and, you know, $40 at Christmas or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Everything you funded, what happened is you just did it out of order. You started funding for college before you were, you want to stabilize the present before you focus on the future. The key is you don't want to get this quick fix going on and then fall back into debt later and think there's going to be another quick fix, because you just want to use this as a teaching that you never want to be in this position again. And then you want to make sure that you avoid debt in the future. So you really kind of jumped the gun on saving for college a little bit early, and just your money's just in the wrong spot right now. But I wouldn't take from those little gifts, those little $20 here and the $50 here. I would actually keep that, the integrity of that was a gift for them. And I would go buy them
something.
Yeah, I would go buy them something. Or whenever you feel like there's an appropriate gift or experience, or maybe it's towards some kind of weekend activity or something that benefits them. But yeah, I probably would. And I don't think you need to feel guilty that you're taking away from them or anything like that. The best thing you can do for your kids is to be out of debt as parents. And then when you do it the right way, which I'm going to give you what's called the Total Money Makeover, an incredible book that'll line out how to, from here on out, how to take some baby steps and line up your finances the right way. And when you do that, that's the best gift you can give them. And when you get to what's called baby step 5, when you get to that part, you can actually take advantage of an ESA or a 529 plan for college funding, where you're going to blow away the amount of money that you have in there now. Because you'll be using compound interest, and you'll be using tax-free instruments like a 529. So if you put in about $10,000, $12,000 over their lifetime each, it'll grow to $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, and you get it out tax-free. So that's a much better plan than putting in an account where it gets 0.001%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have any problem with it. You stick on the line, and we're going to give you the Total Money Makeover, okay?
Okay, super. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks, you know one of the biggest traps in our lives is this thing we call comparison. If you're always looking at what someone else has, it's hard to find peace with what you have. But there's a way to be satisfied with your life, and that's this thing we call contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, I know Paul is right in this passage, but realistically, I also know that being content with what we have can be really challenging. It's tough. And that's why I recommend Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. She focuses on this damaging money habit and walks through some practical ways for us to just quit the comparing. Rachel also unpacks 6 other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under worry and stress and debt. So if you go to stewardship.com, this new book is available to buy right now. But also, when you're there, I also encourage you to download the free daily devotions that go along with the book. Both the book and the devotion series are available right now at stewardship.com.
We're grateful that you joined us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to thank you for sending us your questions and testimonies. We love it when you share your triumphs, your we did it moments. You can call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, we got Kevin. Kevin's calling in from Monument, Colorado. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I'm honored. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
My question is, Chris, is I'm preparing to refinance my home, and I'm going to lose about a point on that. So that'll help me out with my monthly payments. I have a $17,000 school loan that I'm considering rolling into the mortgage because my wife has recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I'm trying not to go into debt and up on the medical bills. So the school loan is about $300, $280, $290, and by putting it into the loan, the home, it's only going to be about $100. So that gives me, with the savings that I'm getting from refinancing, about $300 to put towards the medical bills.
Yeah. Now, if you, again, look at this through, I've said this several times in several calls, but if you look at this decision in a vacuum, it seems to make sense. If there's no other variables. I think one of the questions, though, we got to ask ourselves, is there another way for you to make a $300 shift in your finances, either on the expense side or the income side? Because this isn't I wouldn't say it's your primary option. This isn't your best option. Is there another one?
Well, I do have a vehicle that I owe money on that's about $300,000 a month that I could, it's a newer vehicle, so I could sell that and get an older vehicle for the meantime.
Yeah, that's a much better option. And here's the reason why. If I were to ask you, do you want to pay $17,000 for those student loans or do you want to pay $30,000 for those student loans? You would say
over 20-year period.
Right. So it's just and then the opportunity cost of you paying car payments is hurting you too. The average car payment in America is $499 a month for about 9.6% interest, and the average person spends about $33,000 on that car, and at the end of that term, it's worth about $6,000.
Right.
So it's just not a good use of money on that end either. So I think that would be a better move.
Okay.
So I would rather you do that. I know it doesn't feel as good driving to work and you probably have a very nice car, but,
Well, it's not that nice, but
yeah,
it does good.
Yeah. That is the more smart decision. So I'd rather you do that.
Okay, Chris, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, Kevin, and I'm sorry to hear about your wife, and our prayers go out to you guys for sure.
Thank you again.
All right, Kevin, bye-bye. All right, folks, that's a tough one to hear. Sounds like a great husband trying to be a good provider and trying to leave a legacy to the next generation with not having debt go to that next the next generation. All right, next up on Chris Brown's True Stewardship is Paul. He's calling in from Santa Rosa, California.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Did I say Santa Rosa right?
Yeah, exactly, as you wish. As long as you don't not take the call, I appreciate it.
That's awesome. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I was just calling in to ask about a real estate investment trust. I sold an income property last year, not thinking that I would have any tax liability. But when the depreciation, you have to take that into consideration that you've deducted all those years. When you have to gain that back, I did have a tax liability. So I'm interested in possibly rolling it into a 1031, exchanging it into a real estate investment trust. And wanted to find out what your opinion is on those things. My understanding is they're not regulated.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the RIT or the real estate investment trusts that haven't really performed well. I like 1031s. Yeah. Have you ever done a 1031 before?
I haven't, and the reason why is because I think you identify a property within 45 days, and I think you have to close in 180, so you pretty much have to know what you're going to get before you sell.
Yeah, and that is the catch. So they definitely have some time constraints on there, and they're changing all the time. I forget if it's 45, 60, or whatever.
Right.
What is your probable gain?
I'm not sure what the depreciation will be on the next property. I sold pretty much at dead even or a loss in my calculation, but when the depreciation caught up again, I'm not a math expert, but I ended up owing some tax that I didn't expect. Is there a certain interest rate, a guaranteed interest rate that these REITs have that you would consider one of these?
No. I've never had any success stories. I don't have anything positive to say about them. Let me ask you this. Do you have is your primary paid off?
No.
Okay. And how many investment properties do you have?
I had two. I've got one now.
Okay. And your intention is to have more investment properties in the future?
Probably, but closer. This is about two and a half hours away, just because they were cash flowing there, but not locally where I am. The market's pretty high in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm. So I guess just overall, just to give you some overall guidance, and of course, I ultimately want to push you to your tax professional. These things kind of switch often. I don't want to give you bad information, but overall, I'm good with the 1031. The big thing for me, though, is just to exchange it for something local. I'm just begging you to do something local where you know the ins and outs. The biggest thing that I've made a mistake in the past with these is I didn't know about, you can research a ton of stuff online right now. Lots of great technology, and you got good street views and satellite views and these great panoramic tours of the home and all these kind of things. But what you don't know are those social barriers that you have no clue about. One street over, and there's an issue. And so that would be the big thing. And for me, I only can encourage you to do stuff with cash. I don't borrow because of Proverbs 22:7, the borrower's slave to the lender. I'd love for you to pay off your primary first. So obviously, I'm not a fan of the RIT, of course. For me, they haven't performed as well as just a good growth stock mutual fund. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. They just don't. But I do want to push you towards one of our ELP tax professionals because I think they can give you a good 10% more. A little bit, 10% more of the latest loopholes or the latest opportunities that are out there in the tax world. So just head over to stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends, and then we have our endorsed local provider tax professionals that are there.
Great.
That's the big thing there. But I like 1031s if you can find the property.
Yeah.
I would really sit down and pull up the 30,000 feet and say, all of this work, all this what I'm going through, would I just feel better if my primary was completely paid off? Just ask that question. And I think you might be in a better spot. And you might be 2 years, 3 years away from buying a smaller investment property with cash that's local.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Paul. I appreciate the call.
Hey, thanks very much. And what was the site again? I'm sorry for the ELP.
Stewardship.com. And they have ELP tax professionals there and also ELP real estate professionals. All you got to do is click on Chris Recommends, and it'll take you right there.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. This whole 1031s trying to avoid the big capital gains tax. This whole tax thing, it's just garbage, right? What does the Bible say about paying taxes? In Matthew 22:17-21, the Pharisees asked Jesus a question. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying taxes. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In full agreement, the Apostle Paul taught this. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Paul tells us that in Romans 13. 6, and 7. Well, there you have it. Friends, it has once again been a pleasure to learn together. I hope this show has continued to add value to your life. Please continue to share and to support this show by purchasing the resources for yourself and for your loved ones. We do not accept donations, but we do provide biblically based, easy to understand, life-changing resources. And one of those resources is Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Don't forget, it's available to buy right now at stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. While you're there, check out the free Love Your Life, Not Theirs devotion series right there at stewardship.com. God, we come to you right now. We're asking for your guidance. God, we got a heavy call today from Kevin, a wife just diagnosed with cancer. We pray right now that you'd heal her body. God, we pray for Kevin that you would give him strength. You'd give him courage as he takes care of her. God, we're just casting our cares upon you. We're asking for you to take care of that situation. And we know that you will. And I pray that he feels your presence right beside him, and so does she. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, it has been an absolute pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.